Thank you again for the fellowship. And thank you again for the opportunity to come preach another lesson of God's words. The main thing that I see the church doing, or the main thing that we should be doing more, is fellowship. If we say the church is our family, then act like we are family. We shouldn't say, "That's my seat." "That's my chair." If we're a family, we should be able to sit next to each other as family. But once I come here, I definitely feel like it's my home away from home. Even once we can go down and sit and eat chicken at the same table. It's definitely a blessing. Thank my family. Thank God for the opportunity, because he deserves all the credit with us as Christians do on a daily basis. Tonight, or this evening, I want to talk about a mission that Christians are on, because Jesus was on a mission as well. Once you say the church should spell being on a mission, and that mission should be bringing lost souls unto Jesus, because Jesus definitely went on a mission after he was tempted by Satan, beginning in Matthew chapter 4. He didn't bow down to Satan not one time, because he knew what he was set out to do. All the kings have been put to death. Now we're saying that Jesus is the King of Kings. But Jesus knew everything had to be fulfilled in the Old Testament for Jesus to come and take over in the New Testament, because God had already made it known, "No man coming unto me unless it's by my Son, Jesus Christ, who would be at the right hand." So once we talk about a mission, how and what can we do as being on that mission to help and to bring lost souls? See, the missional church movement first arose during the end of the 20th century and beginning of the 21st century. When you say the missional church, it should simply mean everything the church does and is done is for the advance of the gospel to the unbelievers. We must bring the gospel to the unbelievers so he can let his church grow and thrive. It says the church existed, in other words, for what sometimes is called a mission to announce the world that Jesus is the Lord. Mission is not just a program of the church. We have certain people or certain groups say, "I want to be a part of this program. I want to do this." But being on a mission is not just a special program. It's to bring all lost souls unto him. It defines the church of God's sent people. We are sent out there to bring people unto him. Either we are defined by the mission, or we reduce the scope of the gospel and the mandate of the church. Even though our challenge today is to move from the church which mission to the missional church. We sing, "We're on my mission and journey. We're on our mission and journey. God, won't you guide me?" Oh Lord, we need his guidance to help us to bring lost souls. But if God is helping us to bring lost souls, that means that we cannot be lost. We got to be steadfast. We got to be grounded. We have to be rooted unto his word as well. So that's the reason why I picked out when Jesus just got through being tempted by Satan. And Jesus was not only a person telling somebody what to do. Whatever Jesus told somebody what to do, he had already experienced it. That's the reason why sometimes once we grow up, we didn't want to listen to what our elders had to say, for the simple fact of we say, "Times are different now. Y'all ain't lived in this era. Y'all wore bell bottoms." And then I look around today and see people wearing skinny jeans. Something wrong with that. It doesn't add up. That doesn't make that any different than one side or the other. Because as the youth, apparently we got to have an elder. And apparently we have to listen. Even though we may not know, daddy don't think he know what he's talking about, but trust me, he knows. Because he know how to take that belt off too and make sure. That's the way I was raised up. So when it comes to being a disciple, Jesus said, follow me. Matthew chapter 4, verses 19, starting at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their fathers and followed him. How many times do somebody tell us or give us instructions and we immediately do it? For example, let me dig a little deep. When you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you have to stop eating all of this salt, do we immediately do it? We got to go back on the next visit for him to say the same thing, then to say, I still got it? They immediately left and followed Jesus. When Jesus say, come, we're going to do it. If you don't, there are definitely consequences. But he didn't just choose no ordinary people. Sometimes we think we got to choose perfect people to do God's will. Every person of the 12 disciples that Jesus picked, they had a problem. But Jesus saw through that problem, but saw the best in them, let their worst in them became the best in them. He told his disciples, I want you to go to a specific part of the land and make more disciples and bring them to me. Most times, once we're talking to our youth doesn't hear us what we're talking about. We have three different types of learners. We have audio learners, meaning that they got to see something to learn. We have hands-on learners, which like me, you got to go through and ride that bike and fall. Oh, I know how to ride now. Or they got the visuals, see it, or they got to either hear it or experience it to definitely to figure out what they're doing. But until we have the type people to walk with the Christian, to hold the back of that seat of a Christian and let them ride and say, I got your back, and go ahead on. Christians are not going to get too far for you in this day and age. Amen. Because there are all type things to get their attention. All type rappers, I can't even begin to call their names. Because I don't even listen to the radio now. Even in the work truck, I want to turn to the gospel station and listen to that. But the type things that they're listening to now, Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne and all type rappers, and I'm really not familiar with them. But Jesus chose these people for a reason. Disciples simply means teachers of the word, announcers of God's good news, or followers, where it speaks of in John chapter 20, verse 21. All that is to be done definitely in the kingdom of God. Now, have you ever wondered why Jesus picked 12? 12 men to serve as all his disciples in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It reads, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. He prayed for he picked and chose anybody and continued all night in prayer to God. And he went, and when it was day, he called unto his disciples of them and chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now, all those apostles, they had something going wrong with them that Jesus did not agree with that, but he definitely worked with them. He worked with them to get the point across. The apostles had good and bad character traits, but when they saw Jesus, they said, we have found the Messiah in John chapter 1, verse 41, because they were men of faith. Now, if we'd done a background test on all of us in here today, what would really pop on the screen? What would really come up once we do a background check on Christians in the church house? So imagine their background once you say the 12 apostles, meaning we've done away with all the kings now. Jesus picked 12 people to preach and teach his gospel, to go out there to turn the world upside down about what this is what Jesus said. He didn't pick out of a perfect core. He went to pick people that he If you want to talk to a gambler, I got somebody who wants you to gamble. Go talk to him. He can probably get across the message to you better than I can. When I look at their characteristics, Peter, he was very impulsive. James of Zebedee, he was very vengeful. John, he was vengeful and fiery also. Bartholomew, he was honest, but he was a faithful person as well. Now, when you get down there to Judas was known as greedy. He was deceitful. See, and the reason why I got this chart is because some people don't simply comprehend what that said. But if they see all 12 people lined up, they can probably say, you know what? That's what I got to work on as well. And it actually says that? Yes, it's right here. We're under personality and character. Because don't think once people come into church house or even baptized that they know how to read the Bible. When you say turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, don't think they automatically don't know how to do that. Because once again, if I do your background check when you first came into church, you didn't know how to do it as well. So by us being patient with the youth, by us having a ready ear to listen to the youth without giving our opinion on it, they're going to make it a whole lot farther instead of saying just hearing what you got to say, but never want to hear what they got to say. Because time has changed, but time has not changed as well. So we got to have a ready ear. Jesus always had a ready ear for his disciples. Simon, the fisher, zealous and patient. Matthew, he was a good speaker, but he was a tax collector. No one liked tax collectors because they would overcharge them. Peter had a self-confidence issue. Judas, we all know, was greedy, but most of them was power hungry. Remember them getting in discussion, who is the greatest? Jesus had to really break down with them and let them talk. And at the end of the day, when Jesus broke it down to them, they still was confused. Even when Jesus got buried in the tomb, once he rose on the third day, even after he told them, they were still concerned as if Jesus left them. Even though Jesus told them that I may be gone in this earth physically, but I'm always with you spiritually. Even once Jesus had to rise up and tell his old friend Thomas, once he stepped through the room, once they were trying to have a meeting, he stepped right in the room and looked at Thomas and said, stick your hand right here, even if you don't believe that I got pierced in the side. See, Thomas, he didn't believe a lot of stuff. And sometimes we don't believe stuff unless it's hands-on, unless we actually go through it ourselves. So once we say to you, I don't know what's wrong with these children these days. The same thing that was wrong with you. If you can be honest with yourself and go back, it's the same thing. So we got to do the same thing with our youth. Once we have class teaching the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders sometime, they come up with different topics I've never heard of. But just because I didn't experience, that don't mean that they're not experiencing. So I must have an ear to listen to them, because my main goal is to make sure they follow Jesus' word and not my word, not what, this is what I do. I'll do it this way. And what did Jesus do? What did Jesus tell Peter? You're going to deny me how many times? Three times. When the cock crow, you're going to drop your head, and that's what happened. But even after that third time, what did God do? What did Jesus do? Jesus took him right back in the fold. Who was Jesus' three closest friends? Peter, James, and John. Stayed right there by Jesus' side. And sometimes, if I'm not mistaken, I'm thinking, wasn't that those Jesus' cousins? If I'm not mistaken, that they were cousins. And you know how we can get at family reunions. We don't always get along with each other, but that's what the reunion is for, to come together. To put aside all the other stuff, but come together. You pay your dues, I pay mine. But even if somebody don't pay their dues, you help them out as well and keep going. Although character is important, but God has never chosen a follower based on his character. Even some of our favorite heroes forgot whose side they were on sometimes. Now, if they forgot, already Bible taught who actually sit, talk, and walk with Jesus, whose side they was on. You don't think the youth or people are going to forget whose side they're on? Didn't Aaron forget whose side he was on when Moses was at the mountaintop praying to God? He wanted to please the people. I'm going to make you a golden calf. And then when Moses come down, what did Aaron say? The people wanted it. Not me. Moses losing his temper. Eli and his sons were worthless. They were doing things, bribing people in the church house, going from one thing to the next. They didn't want to listen to anybody. And if we're going to ever go anywhere, we're going to have to learn to listen to somebody. Doctors didn't study to be doctors for nothing. But you can bet when that doctor go to a mechanic shop and say this going to be X amount of dollars, they're going to have to do what? They're going to have to listen. You know something about the health, but you don't know nothing about vehicles. And it's going to take this. We're going to have to listen to somebody. These are the chosen ones of God. Why did he call them and why does he call us? He called them because he saw something in them that human beings would never see sometimes, because sometimes we don't even give them the chance. You let somebody come in the church house just get out of jail. Even sitting in here, not working on the table or nothing, just sitting in here. You heard he... Are we going to work with them? Leaving people past alone, what are we going to do to go forward? It took me a long time, and I'm being truthful, to get over my daddy, to get over that, for him helping my mother birth me into the world. His name is Leroy, but he didn't take care of me. It took me a long time to forgive him. But when I read and studied and said, if you don't forgive him, he won't forgive me. And that was a hard pill to swallow. So you mean that I can go unforgiven just because I won't forgive somebody who didn't take care of me, but got the nerve to call me son? That was a hard pill to swallow, but I forgave him, and I moved on. And I will still respect him to this day, because that's what Jesus had to do to his 12 disciples over and over and over. What did Peter do? Did Peter cut somebody's ear off? And what did Jesus do? He put it right back on them. But he still saw the good works that Peter definitely can do. When he find out the real reason why, once we find out the real reason why God calls us, it compels us to go out into the world. Once we see people used to do the same thing that what we used to do, it compels us to go talk to them. Even though sometimes they may not want to hear what you got to say, but you're going to listen. To hear and listen is a totally different thing. You can say, I heard you, but were you really listening to what I'm about to tell you? And the same thing what goes on to us. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Whatever happened back then, the same thing is happening now, but just in a different era. None of us deserve to be called today. None of us sitting in this church out today deserve to be saved. But by the grace of God that we are saved. We are the saved ones. We are the called ones. We are the ones on a mission going out to bring lost souls unto him. And if we are not doing our job when it comes to the judgment day, please expect your pay on what you're going to get. But only who knows? Only you knows what your pay is going to be. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the call of God's grace who called you will himself perfect, confirm strength, and definitely establish you. We as Christians have been established to go out and to help people. And we must do it. And sometimes it may be funny. And sometimes it may not add up what's going on in this day and age. But we still must help people. Even though people said they go to church by watching TV. It's not our duty to laugh at them in their face right then, but to say, excuse me? Some people say they go to church just by watching. All I got to do is turn the channel, and I'm at church. Missing the whole concept of stuff where there's two or more gathered in my name, we have fellowship. So I said, who did you really fellowship with if you said you went to the church house? Me and my son, he'll say, we going to church, Daddy? I said, yes. But I always remember the people are the church. How you act in daycare, you represent the church. He may not understand it now, but start at him once he's young. So if you train up a child in the way they ought to go, once he get old, he should not flee from it. That's what we're doing. I said, we're going to the church. I said, maybe I'm going too fast. So I said, we're going to church. We're going to church right now. It says also that they were willing to follow Jesus, because some of us are not willing to follow Jesus. Sometimes we say one thing with our mouth, we do another thing with our actions. Right. They were willing to follow Jesus because Jesus was right there with them, looking through all their weakness and all their flaws. And that's the reason why it says there's a cost to being a disciple. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, Luke 9:57 starts off by saying, and it came to pass that they all went in the way of a certain man. And it came to pass, they went in the way of a certain man and said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand and onto the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Making a long story short, no man said they seeking out for God's will, still constantly looking back there in the past, but say, I'm gonna do your will. I've never worked a plow, but I know it's got those two big old handles right there. And they had some type of mule or, but you had to watch what you was doing, because if you didn't watch what you was doing, you can practically cut your foot, or you can practically get drugged through the mud. So when he told them to follow me, there was no looking back. And each time, once we got baptized, all of us in here, we couldn't go and look back. We know that we took on a duty and a responsibility to bring lost souls unto him. But if we're going to bring lost souls unto him, we must be fit to bring people unto him as well. People must see Christ in you. They must see the light in you in order for them saying that they're going to follow you. At the beginning, the disciples were shallow in their spiritual insight. They lacked sympathy. They was proud. They was harsh and unforgiving and filled with fear. Let me read that one again. At the beginning, the disciples were shallow in their spiritual insight. They lacked sympathy. They was proud. They was harsh and even unforgiving and filled with fear. But as they spent time with Jesus and saw God in the human form, that they were going to change into who could serve God and remain faithful to him. That's the reason why we say, whoever desires to be baptized, let them come. But after you go through those first five steps, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, the next step after that, you must remain faithful. Because that's the oath that you took. I can't say, baby, I marry you, but then tomorrow I'm mad at you, so you're not my wife. See, that's that girlfriend, boyfriend stuff. It doesn't work like that. God forbid it that anyway. You're not my girl one day, then next one you're my wife. That goes back to the slang talk. You my girl, yeah. No, I never walked like that. I was picked on for talking like that. For them talking like that, and I never responded to them. I don't know them by gal and you my homie, cuz. We didn't talk like that. We got whipped, spanked on the hand for talking like that because we knew better. Not that we couldn't talk like that, it's because we knew better. And the disciples, after Jesus taught them, they knew better to go. So once Jesus sent them out to do that, when Peter preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 souls got saved. Because he admitted to what he did, that he did was wrong and Jesus was right. And he went out there and preached a sermon, and some 3,000 souls came. But how they came, because they was pricked to their heart, they knew what they were saying. What Peter was saying was right. Sometimes we knew what the minister is saying, or the doctor is saying, or the nutritionist is saying. We know that they're right, but it's still that human fleshly body in us sometimes to say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know. You ain't never experienced it. Somebody has. Somebody has in the kingdom has definitely experienced it. So we as Christians, we got to follow Jesus. Now, before Jesus came or ever called us to go, we must find out if we are willing to follow. Nobody's going to ask you to do anything if they know that you're not willing to do it. If you're not willing to get your hands dirty sometime or get a little spot on your pants, they're not going to ask you to do stuff. If you're always looking to see what's the easiest way to do it, that's good, but know that sometimes there's a hard way also. And sometimes that is the only way, because it's hard for us to accept the truth. If I grew up in a Baptist church all my life and that's all I heard, it's hard to hear the gospel of that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. Meaning that they've already been baptized before, and you tell me that I got to get baptized again just to believe Jesus and knowing that I'm going to suffer also? In which he tells us, if you're going to suffer, you suffer as a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Anyway. Meaning nobody's not going to go in this world without suffering hardship, without going through some things, and expect to make it to heaven. Knowing that if we know how to suffer, Jesus said, bring all your cares unto me. But first, we got to trust in somebody. Because if we don't trust Jesus, we're never going to go for what he said. Matthew 16 and 24 said, if anyone wishes to come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross, and follow me. Meaning deny what you used to think and now follow me on what I said. Could you imagine him talking to 12 people at one time? Once they were hungry that day, when they was about to eat, and he had loaves of bread and he had fish, and the people were hungry, and the disciples told them, y'all go ahead on. We're about to eat now. And what did Jesus say once he came back? Basically, you got a hard head here. You didn't understand the first feeding of what I just did. And now we got to feed somebody else, and you're telling them to go head on. So what do we do once we're tired? Once we preached and talked to our children all day, and we said, boy, go head on now. No, because my grandma used to save me from my mother whipping me all the time. Don't you hit my baby. So imagine what I go through now. When she saved her grandson telling me not to, don't you hit my baby. I said, that's what that was. Because you know what a parable really means, right? Once you read a parable, you're not really going to get it when you first read it. You're going to have to experience something, or you're going to have to say, that's what that meant right there. That's what Jesus was trying to get me to see. We can easily say, you touch the heater, it's hot, and say, ooh, that was hot. But once we read a parable, you're not going to get it right off. You're going to have to understand something. And by this church being on a mission, our mission by the church of Christ is to bring lost souls to him. It said also that my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me once they hear my voice calling them. It says my sheep, because a sheep can only see so far in front of them. So for a sheep to go somewhere, they got to hear something. That's like we talked about David this morning. If a sheep got stuck in the fence, it was David's job to go down there and get the sheep out. What does it do a church? If I got 99 good members and one drift away, should I not go out and get him? Or to say, I'm glad I got 99. He'll be all right. That wasn't God's purpose. His purpose was to go out and get the lost sheep and bring him back in. So we can start back on the regular direction. That's what being a disciple really is. And I'm not talking about no gangster disciple either. We have people leaning to gangs and things because they say that they have nothing to lean to. And my question is all the time, have you tried King Jesus? But some people wait till they go to jail, wait till we get down on our last leg to start following Jesus. And then once people die, we preach them into heaven. You're going. No, you got to wait your date. You got to wait your date and see where you are going. Because you know where you're going by the way you've been living anyway. I brung this lesson to you to let you know that we're all on a mission. Somebody around you is always listening to the way you talk, looking at you the way you walk, looking at you the way when you eat, or do he feel that way only when he feel good, or do he feel that way once he's down and out? How is he going to talk to you then? People are looking at that. On a job, everywhere you go. So I'm saying by us being on a mission, we got to have a set mindset when it comes to Jesus Christ. Know what he did for us. Know that he died on that cross for remission of all sins. Know that even though that he was spit on, know that even though once he hung there, nails in his hands, pierced in his side, we got to know the reason why he really did that. He did that for us. Amen. I keep reiterating, if Jesus walked through that door right now, would we really, really notice him? Just because he don't wear Perry Ellis like us, or if he don't wear Barbie spray like us, will we really, really, really remember him or even see him? Because Jesus was out there seeking the lost. He was helping the homeless. He was giving people places to sleep. That's the reason why it made me feel good when I'd watch TV when they said Farmer's Market was making places for people to sleep at because when it got so cold. But they went even farther. I'm going to make a place for your pet. Your pet to sleep at? They was making homes for the pets to sleep in. And I said, the grace of God, let God be with them. If they making place for people, pets. But even on a good sunny hot day, the first thing we say once we go out to knock on doors and do stuff, it's just too hot out there. It doesn't add up. Even on the battlefield, once you're working, once people, you got a fresh cooler of cold water, nothing in it, but then they said they thirsty. But what they want to do is stop at the store and work and then get something to eat. I said, no, we already ate it this time. But people don't like you enforcing nothing on what how it should be going on. Children don't like it. I didn't like it. Once he said, your carefree is 8:30 p.m. 8:30, what can I do then? My dad was just that strict, but I had to listen to what he said. The disciples had to listen what Jesus said. Even though we know that the attitudes that some of the disciples had, they were angry, they were big-headed, couldn't nobody tell them anything. But Jesus said, if I see one good thing in you, I'm going to bring it out of you. I'm going to let that make the best of you. And from that day, they went out praising God, not only by their words, but they went out by their actions as well. If anybody here who wants to come to this day to give their life to Christ or want to renew their life back to Christ, now is the time. Now, once we say repent is not just to repent and do the same thing over and over again. Over and over again. I've fallen. He know my heart. Over and over again, I come back. No, it doesn't work like that. But like I was explaining to one of my brothers when he was talking about the forgiveness, if your brother sinned against you, what is it, 60 times 60 so? Do you still not supposed to? 70 times 7, do you still forgive him? But how many people can count how many times somebody did them wrong? But if I ask Jesus, how many times have this person did you wrong? Or how many times I did you wrong, Jesus? To the person that already know how many hairs on your head. Now, if he know how many hairs on your head, imagine how many sins that he has forgiven us for. So once we come to God, let us come to God wholeheartedly, admitting that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. We must hear his word. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must repent of our many sins. We must confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is definitely our only way to heaven. Then we must be baptized in that watery grave of baptism. But after we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, we must let people know, we must live a life that is effective to everybody, not only to me, but unto